And he's God's man for this hour. I love him. You come around and carry out the service as you feel led of the Lord. I love you, Brother Larry. Amen.
You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Romans, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. I am grateful for what God is doing. I don't know all that he's doing, but I know that he's doing. And I'm grateful to be a part of it. Certainly appreciate the wonderful message we just heard and the messages throughout this day and all week. And it's wonderful just to get shut up to God and hear a word from the Lord. I tried on purpose not to even listen to the news. And I told my wife not to tell me anything about it for 2 weeks now. I don't know where. I don't know what Joe Biden said. I don't know where he's at. Of course, he may not either. But I'm so grateful that we've had the privilege to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus during these days. And I certainly do appreciate all that God has done and that God is doing. We never know what God is doing in hearts and in lives. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in your presence tonight. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin, every word, every thought, lust, action, attitude, whatever about me that is displeasing in thy sight, I pray that you'll cleanse me of it. Lord, thou said that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and I pray that nothing shall be between my soul and thee. Thank you for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it. Thank you for every man of God that has stood in this place. Thank you for those that have sung throughout the day and tonight that have blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts in worship and praise and gratitude and remembrance to the greatness of God. Thank you so much for this meeting. I pray for Brother Steve and Brother, I pray for Brother Fox, Lord, that you'll continue to give them strength. We thank you for both of them. And I thank you for every church that is a part of this meeting, for every man of God that is here. I pray that you bless them in their respective places of service. Lord Jesus, should there be one among us that is a stranger to your grace, I pray that this will be the hour of salvation. We're so grateful that Christ Jesus came to the world to seek and to save sinners. I pray now that you'll touch thy servant. Pray for that special anointing. Illuminate my mind. Loose my tongue. And may the gospel go forth not in word only, but in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost with much assurance. All that you're pleased to do in this hour, we will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer and soon-coming King, I humbly pray, amen. I spoke to you Monday night about the state of justification. I want to speak to you tonight about the standing of justification. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace where we stand, and we have the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So it's a wonderful thing to know God's grace is in your heart. It was amazing grace. It is amazing grace. And as John Newton wrote, when we've been there 10,000 years, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Justification brings peace with God. The war is over. And in God's beloved Son, we are accepted. Justification by faith is not a process. It's something that happens once and forever. Oh, I know that there are many things involved in that moment of redemption. And Jesus said, no man can come unto me except my Father, which has sent me, shall draw him. But the actual moment of conversion takes place. And the transition from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's Son is so fast that you have to talk about it in the past tense. I was thinking some time ago, I told my church about an experience that I had when I was pastor of another church. We were going to put some outdoor carpet on the front porch, and there was a roll in the furnace room that had been there for a long time. And so I stuck my hand down in the end of that roll of carpet to pick it up. And about that time, something latched onto my finger. I thought it was a rat. I hate rats. I don't even like to see a picture of one. And immediately, I slung him out and smashed him against the wall. And so I went to the doctor to get a tetanus shot. I heard the doctor say, who was the lady doctor, where's that preacher that's possum bitten? I was almost ashamed to face her. But when that possum bit me, Brother Steve, I didn't say, ouch. I now presume that I'm being bitten by a possum. No, I'm dead. And God saved me. It happened so fast that I could only talk about it in the past tense. Saved. Saved. Immediately, I passed from darkness to light. Immediately, I was delivered from the pit. As Brother David reminded us yesterday, there's something more precious than a pot of gold at the rainbow. And down at the bottom of that pit is where God found us. And what a wonderful thing it is to be delivered by His grace. And then to know that we have standing, we have a right to approach the throne of God on the merit of what He has done on the cross. Now we became or are becoming progressively sanctified, or at least we should. But progressively, we are not being justified. Right now, if you're in the grace of God, you have been justified by faith. You have access unto God, and you can rejoice in this wonderful gift of the hope of the glory of God. And when the Lord saved us, of course, that was only the beginning of grace. I don't know how long my sojourn on this earth will last, but I do know that for these 65 years, this past April, the grace of God has been sufficient. It was grace that taught my heart to fear. It was grace, it has been grace, that has brought me safe thus far. And it will be grace that will safely lead me home. Who can ever even describe the wonderful joy of being justified by faith, having peace with God? Now, when the Lord saved me, He didn't just save me from hell. That's big stuff. I don't want to go to hell. I don't have to go to hell. And I certainly wouldn't minimize that. But when the Lord saved me, I discovered that not only was the fear of hell removed, but Jesus actually came to live in my heart. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm glad that I'm not going to hell, but I am even more glad that Christ lives in my heart. I have fellowship with Him. I have communion with Him. He's just as real as any of you that sit before me tonight. And through this grace, through God's wonderful grace, I have access to God. The entrance of our standing is by introduction. There's a vast difference between where a sinner stands and a saint stands. There's only one truth for that person that's not been born again. That's the offer of salvation through Jesus' blood. And I felt in thinking about this meeting, praying for this meeting, I really believe in my heart that God is speaking to sinners. I do believe that there's someone who needs to experience the grace of God in your heart. And what we have experienced as a people of God, you can experience as well. And of course, the Bible declares that if God has saved you, you have peace with God. Colossians 1:3. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we have access by one Spirit with the Father. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. The apostle said, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It is he that gave me the faith, and is the faith of Christ that lives in me. And I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I know that God loves you, but I know that he loves me. The apostle said he loved me and gave himself for me. John the apostle described himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. But he also said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as a child of God, I have access to God. There was a time when we were in sin, a time when we had no right of entry into the presence of God, but being justified by faith, we now have access into this grace by faith when we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Salvation is the divine work of God. It's a divine operation. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, when you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. We were baptized into the body of Christ. It was the Spirit of God who placed us, who baptized us into this glorious body. As the Israelites went out of the cloud and were in the cloud and came out on the other side of the Red Sea, it is God who has begun this work in us, and he will perform it on the day of Jesus Christ. Now, without justification, it is foolish to believe that any man or woman can approach God, that anybody, anytime, can come to God for blessings. For example, Psalm 46 has often been twisted to apply to all men. God is a very present help in time of trouble. That's his people. That's those who've been justified by faith. That's those that have access by grace and through faith in the very presence of God. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, if a person is unsaved, they cannot say, our Father, which art in heaven. But if you're saved, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given us. Jesus is not a sign that leads to heaven. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. You can go sit by a sign, maybe it says Hickory, 20 miles or whatever, and you can sit beside that sign all night long, and in the morning, you'll still be sitting there. The only way to actually go to Hickory is to get on the road and follow the way And Jesus is not a signpost. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And no man can come unto the Father except through Him. Our Father which is in heaven. It's possible to be possible to say that because of what Christ has done on the cross. We are now under grace, that we that are saved. Whereas before, we were under law. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. But you're not under law, but under grace. We're justified by faith in Christ. And we are what we are by the grace of God. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. He knows our needs. He's our Heavenly Father. Luke 12:7, Jesus says, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not them, therefore. You're more valuable than the sparrows. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, you notice he didn't say, it is my Father. Of course, God is his Father. But if you're saved, Christ Jesus has become your elder brother. That's what the Bible says. He's not ashamed to be called our brother. And it is Christ that has paid that debt that introduces us to God. That gives us access to God. And what a wonderful thing it is. When Jesus said, it is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. My Father is your Father. And God that marks every sparrow that falls to the ground, every blade of Christ that moves, knows our every need. The five books of Moses, of course, are detailed and hedged about with the Israelites' access to God. And when God came down on Mount Sinai, and there was thunder, and the mountain was on fire and smoking, and the trumpet sounded, that was so terrible. And the Israelites said, let us draw aside to the other side of the valley. And God had said to Moses, they cannot come near this mountain. That's law, the law, in its raw reality. And there is a great high priest, though, that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Now, Paul reminds us, we that are in the grace of God, we have not come to Mount Sinai, that mountain that shook with the terrible presence of God. And the cloud so dark that they dared not approach it. But in the grace of God, having been justified by faith, we have come to Mount Zion, to the church of the firstborn, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to the spirits of justified men made perfect. But better than that, we've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, which speaketh better things than that of Abel. I rejoice for Abel's lamb. But my lamb is pure. My lamb is more noble. And it is his blood that has saved me and given me access to God. We can pray and have the assurance that God will hear us because we have come to him by faith. Now in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament tabernacle, if somehow you were a Gentile and you got into the camp of the Israelites, you'd notice that in the center, in the daytime, there was a pillar of cloud. But at night, there was a pillar of fire. God settled over the most holy place. And if you'd gotten into the camp of those Israelites, and you'd come to a certain place, to the beginning of the outer court of the tabernacle, you'd have to stop the court of the Gentiles No one could go any further. And then as the Jews made their way closer to the tabernacle, then that was a place where all the women must stop at the court of women. And that little dwindling company goes on. Those that are the tribe of Levi, special group of the tribe of Levi, who take care of all the janitorial work. And when they're through, another part of the family of Levi furnish the singers for worship. Only the Levites, who are the direct descendants of Aaron, could slay the lambs for sacrifice. And that sinner, that Israelite sinner, would place his hands on the goat over that fence, confess his sins before God. And then the priest goes to the altar, offers the sacrifice, walks a few steps to the laver, washes his feet, returns to the altar, puts that blood in a basin, in a bowl, the blood of that animal, and pours it toward the north side of the altar. And then into the tabernacle walked the priest, but only the first room, to offer incense in the first room, that special altar. And at this point, the priest could no go no farther. But once a year, that veil was lifted. The high priest was allowed within in the holy place. The high priest offered two sacrifices, one for himself, one for the sins of the people, and after the purifying ceremonies, and after prayers and offering and incense, he returned to the altar, killed a second sacrifice for the sins of the people. He goes to the laver once more, washes his feet, enters the first room, and offers incense. And then the solemn moment comes. He lifts up the veil and enters into the holy place and sprinkles the blood of that sacrifice on the Ark of the Covenant between the cherubims where the glory of God fell. And then see that high priest as he comes out, having taken off his simple linen garments and put on the royal garments of the priesthood. Then that priest kills two goats. One is a sacrifice on the altar. And then that second goat, the priest, high priest, confesses the sins of Israel. And in the days of the temple sacrifice, see that little goat as he leaves the Mount of Olives behind. And soon, in the burning desert sands, the dark, cold nightfall comes, and that little lamb is all alone in the wilderness. The next morning, see that little lamb as the heat gets hot, greater, and the sun rises. See that little lamb. Its lips are parched. Its legs are trembling, and it dies in the desert sands. And the man comes back with an empty rope. Atonement has been made. But leave that little goat in the wilderness and come with me to Calvary and see the Son of God bleeding and dying and suffering and keeps on suffering and suffering until he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And for 3 hours it was as if God hung a curtain around Golgotha while God's darling Son bears our sins in his own body. The Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Not that he had some morbid delight, but it pleased the Lord to bruise him because of a forgiven bride, because of those now that have access to God by faith, that can rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Our Lord has paid the debt. The price has been paid. I imagine that dying thief who asked the Lord to be remembered. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I don't know all about paradise, but if I understand, there were two compartments, Gehenna and paradise. And it was out of hell the rich man cried and asked for the mercy of Father Abraham. But he could not even tip the tip of his finger in water and cool the burning tongue of Lazarus. But it pleased the Lord to bruise his son for our sins. And I imagine that dying thief dying first. His legs were broken, but not a bone of our Lord's body was broken. And I can imagine that dying thief getting into paradise and said, all those in paradise, he's on his way. I had breakfast in the jailhouse. I had dinner on the cross. But he said, I'd sit down to supper tonight in the kingdom of heaven. It was dark, but he's on the way. And finally, that cry, it is finished. And he cried, Father, into thy hands, receive my spirit. And Jesus led captivity captive. And he's ascended far into the heavens. And at the right hand of the throne of God, we have an intercessor. We have a mediator. The spirits of our standing. As I come to a close, not only have we been admitted in and introduced into this grace, we're confirmed in it. We're planned in it, planted in it. And what a wonderful thing. We didn't start with grace and end up with the law. Our standing is the same. Being justified by grace through faith. We have access into this grace by faith when we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'm trusting in nothing less and nothing more than the finished work of God's Son. I'm not building a bridge. I'm not riding on a mountain railroad. If anyone makes it, Lord, surely I will. I wouldn't. But I'm dependent on His grace. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe, and all that I am in the grace of God. Oh, to Jesus Christ. I can't begin to praise Him enough. And sometimes I do wish that I was younger and had the strength to express it like I want to. But I know this. Someday, excluding the coming of the Lord, my eyes will close in death. And I rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Stephen saw it. And while the stones were crushing his body, and they were gnashing on him with their teeth, I don't think he even felt that. He said, I believe as the rocks hit his body, hit me again. I see Jesus stand at the Father's right hand, standing in his glory. That was the kind of glory that Saul experienced. We heard Brother Charles this morning talk about the experience of Saul of Tarsus, a light that was so blinding that he had to get off his camel, and a light that blinded him. And I want to say that this light is far greater, and this light is more powerful than that mushroom cloud that came off the first atomic bomb. It's glory unspeakable. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul said he knew a man 14 years before, taken up into the third heaven, the place where God dwells, heard things that could not be repeated, because of their glory and wonder, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God. We have access by faith, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Amen. I do not know when my life on earth will end, but I know this, that it will end at Jesus' feet. That name thrills me. That name stirs my heart. I love the preaching of the word, the teaching of the word. But it may be just because I'm farther down the road. I'm nearer home than I've ever been. I just can't get enough of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Brother Steve, I hear about people being mad at God. I don't understand that. I know there are mysteries. And I have wondered and wondered if God had set me aside. But I've never been mad at God. I know that He loved me and He died for me. And there are days so dark that it seems the sun will never shine again. But I love Him because He first loved me. And His grace has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. All these preachers tonight, I'm sure, can tell you of many experiences. I've been in a death room of a lost person, and then been in the death room of a child of God. What a difference. You see, death to the child of God, it's not even across the hallway. It's next door. The people talk about how can we go to heaven so quickly. What is it, the speed of light? And they tell us that it takes years to get to one of the planets. But how about the speed of thought? How about just God saying, it's done. And what God says, it's done. He saved me. I didn't have to wait for His grace. Immediately, I passed from death unto life. I bless and praise His name that He lifted me from the pit. This past April 15th, and I just happen to know the date because my pastor had written it down and he told me the date, but I remember that night, clear as day. I can't remember one other thing about that meeting. If you asked me what the pastor preached, I couldn't tell you. But I do remember that night, a nine-year-old boy by myself against the wall, Central Baptist Church. And they were singing, "When thou be saved, then why not tonight? Tomorrow the sun may never rise on thy long deluded soul. Oh, then be wise, be saved tonight." And I remember stepping out. If I had to tell you what I prayed, Brother Dane, I could not do it if you held a gun on me. But I knew two things. I was a sinner, and that Jesus is the only Savior. And I went home that night saved. My grandparents raised me. They were already in bed. I flipped the light on in the bedroom and said, "I got saved tonight." I think it convicted my grandpa. He said, "Get in the bed and be quiet." So I got in bed, but I wasn't quiet. And it's been 65 years old, and I'm still not quiet. And I can't get over it. And I stand in the grace of God without access. I can talk to Him. I can fellowship with Him. And sometimes it's like He pours a bucket of liquid love in my heart. Oh, the joy. Just Jesus and me. And I thank God that in mercy and grace, He came to me. Brother Steve, forgive me. I'm getting old. I think about things. I was preaching one night at Landis Baptist Church. I was 13 years old. The place was packed full. And a young man got stirred up. And Brother Curtis picked me up and carried me all over the platform. I just kept kicking and preaching. I want to tell you what God has put in my heart is a wonderful reality. I haven't been justified by faith. I have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have access by grace through faith. And I can come to Him in the hope of His glory. Seeing His glory. I don't know what it'll be when the Lord calls me home. I thought about it often. Seems like lately. I wake up every morning thinking, could this be the day? It just seems too good to be true. I'm going to heaven. My body's not going to lie in a grave. All these saints that have shouted with us through the years, these men of God, Brother Rue, and we could name them all, they're not lying somewhere in the grave. Their bodies are, but they're in heaven. And Jesus is coming back with His saints. And we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But I shall behold Him. William Capper, the great hymn writer, often had doubts about his salvation. But when he was dying, William Capper looked up and said, "Heaven, I did make it after all. At the end of my journey is heaven eternal. I'm going to see Him face to face. That's the hope of glory that I have. I shall behold Him." But He could come in the clouds tonight. He could call us out of this assembly. And He could call His church of all parts of this world to meet Him in the air. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. And forever we shall be with the Lord. Brother Steve, if it's all right, could we just stand? I do think God's calling someone, young man, young lady, whatever age. I beg you to.